Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. I am your host, Wes Christian, and we're happy to have our very special guest here today. And as always, we've got my co-host, Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker with us. And the special guest that we're going to be welcoming to the show today and getting some insight on what's going on in school districts is Miss Lindsay Aguilar. And Lindsay is the registered dietitian and certified school nutrition specialist. She is also the administrative dietitian for the Tucson Unified School District, and she's worked with Tucson Unified for, I believe, more than 15 years now. So Lindsay has a passion for child nutrition that no one can question, and she is also an active member of the School Nutrition Association and is on the executive board of the State Association. So let's welcome our guest and get things going today. Welcome, guys. How's everything?
Oh, it's great.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for being on the show. So you've been working with Tucson Unified for the past 15 years. Is that correct? Did I get those numbers right?
Yes, that's correct.
I think it's fair to say that what's been going on in the past couple of months probably blows the past 15 years out of the water in terms of crazy times.
Absolutely. Yeah, this one will go down in the history books for sure.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I gotta add something. Watching you two, seeing you two makes me feel so old. Wesley, I've watched you grow up in the industry, obviously as my son, for the last few 20 years, really. And Lindsay, I think I met you when you were an intern at in Phoenix many, many years ago, you and your good friend Aaron. And yeah. And you were both interns there. And that was many, many moons ago. And I'm sitting here, I'm going, oh God, I remember you two as kids. And I'm going, oh my God.
That's so true.
Well, time definitely flies.
The mafia. Child nutrition is like the mafia. It gets you in, it doesn't let you go.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that is true. Well, Lindsay, in the past 15 years, you've obviously seen a lot of changes and you've grown with the district. And I actually saw something in your bio that said that you are an alumni of Tucson Unified.
I am. Yeah.
That's got to be cool for you.
I went to all TUSD schools. So yeah, it's kind of a unique connection that I have to the district. And it's pretty, I remember when I first started in the district, one of my first outings on a site visit, I went to a high school and I literally got stopped in the hallway asking for a hall pass, which that was hysterical. But yeah, so it's pretty neat to kind of full circle back to where I started.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. Well, you know, obviously things change over time. And as we talked about just a second ago, these past couple of months have been a little bit crazy for all of us. Let's dive right into it, because I'd love to know what you're doing over at Tucson Unified as far as delivering meals right now with these kind of unprecedented times that we're currently living in.
Yeah, so we started the week after our spring break. So on March 25th, we started a grab-and-go meals with 12 bus routes. So we had 114 bus stops across our district. Our district is 225 square miles, so we covered pretty much the majority of the Tucson area, and certainly all of our district. And we did breakfast and lunch at one time. So our buses were out between 10 and about 1:30 every day. So actually today is our last day of those bus routes for the school closure. And we have served just over 330,000 meals over the last 2 months to our community. And then we're starting back up on Tuesday with a revised summer bus route. So we're going to do the same concept, just instead of 114 stops and 12 buses, we'll have 6 buses with 77 stops.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, for people that might not be familiar with the grab-and-go term, what exactly is served? What types of variety of meals and items are you serving in those grab-and-go lunches?
Yeah, so we have been utilizing all prepackaged items. So fortunately for us at TUSD, we had incorporated kind of a 50-50 model over the past 2 years. So we're doing half of our entrees as house-made assembled items that we're making in our kitchens. And then we have incorporated prepackaged items. So we were fortunate that we had quite an inventory. We have a centralized warehouse, so we have been able to run our program off of the 5-week inventory that we had coming into the school closure. So we weren't in the situation that I know a lot of districts across the country really had challenges getting prepackaged items. So because of our centralized warehouse and just our size, and that we do have typically about 5 weeks worth of inventory, we've been able to utilize that. So, you know, we're doing bean and cheese burritos, corn dogs, cheeseburger sliders, grilled cheese, and then breakfast items. We've been offering cereal and bagels, and now we're transitioning to some pancakes and French toast items for our summer program. And then fruit cups, a fruit and vegetable juice. So we've been able to kind of offer a nice variety and a lot of the items that our kids really do enjoy. So that's been nice for us to be able to continue that.
And you mentioned that you haven't really seen much of a shortage as far as the food that you guys have had due to the size of the district. What about items that are not related to food? Have you guys seen any issues with getting the actual bags to deliver the lunches in, or any type of, you know, boxes or any of those items?
The one item that we have had a challenge receiving was shelf-stable milk. So we did have a large inventory of that, but it ran out probably after the first month or so. So we had to transition to, regular fluid milk. So that is the one item. Hand sanitizer for our buses has been a challenge. So we, had to get creative with that. But those were the two main areas that we've had struggles with, that we just had to make some adjustments and kind of figure out an alternative plan for that.
Well, let me ask you a question, Lindsay. As you've seen parents, as you're seeing parents out in the buses and whatnot, what is the response of the parents to the fact that you're bringing food and to the type of food the kids are receiving?
Yeah, that's actually been, it's been overwhelmingly positive, and just, the feedback we're getting, kids making cards and pictures and, drawing chalk at the bus stops on the sidewalk to thank us and our staff, and hanging signs. And, we even had one family that made t-shirts for the staff on the bus to wear that said, mm-hmm. TUSD United. And so it's just been overwhelmingly positive. And I think the other factor is just the, coming together and collaborating with our transportation department and our school safety. We have school safety officers and crossing guards that have been out at our bus stops. So just, working together with those departments, in such a positive way and impacting our students and community, I think that's been my favorite part. And I know the staff, it's been really nice for our staff to get the positive recognition that they often, unfortunately, don't receive. So we have, parents emailing and, sending letters, and it's been very heartfelt for our staff to be acknowledged in that way.
It's so funny that I before this all happened, you would hear about that one odd parent that would make a Facebook post. Or you hear about those two odd parents that would call and complain about something. You never heard about the 330,000 meals being served that were being received properly. I for one person think that we're going to be elevated as an industry to such a high level in the district, because we've really demonstrated that, the teachers aren't essential. The food service workers are essential, because they're the ones that have had to go to work. Not that teachers are not important, because they are essential, but they're able to do their work from home, and your crew's on the front line every single day. And I think the community's really going to appreciate and see that. I'm just really excited about what the future holds for child nutrition.
No, I agree. And I also think, to your point about the parents being exposed to the food, I think that's also been a really positive kind of unintended consequence from this whole, thing, right? But that they've been actually able to see, every day taking their kids to the meal stops and seeing the food that they're getting. And, we're not serving mystery meat and all of those,
things
that school lunch often has those misconceptions. So I think the food quality and, just being able to see the types of items that we offer to their students, I think has been a really nice, impact for everybody to experience.
Exactly. So in these times, what exactly are you doing with your staff to kind of keep them engaged and keep them motivated on a daily basis?
Yeah, so for us, we have just over 200 site employees at, in our school kitchen. So what we did during the closure, we obviously didn't need all 200 on the bus routes and in our central kitchen facility. So we did a rotation, a weekly rotation. So we had groups of people assigned to our kitchen to do our meal bag assembly. And then we had the groups of staff assigned to the buses for the meal distribution. And then we had groups of staff rotating to work from home. So we utilize this time to really educate our and train our employees. So, you know, the school food handler has been amazing to our staff to utilize during this time and keep them working and having meaningful work in areas that they could absorb more information. So they did a lot of professional development training. We also reached, you know, utilized some other areas too. The Institute of Child Nutrition was something I assigned staff from home, just which they actually got a lot of feedback that they really enjoyed learning about the history of the National School Lunch Program. And then our district actually has like a historical section on their website. And I had them actually review all the history of TUSD. And that was kind of another area that I was surprised that a lot of our staff reached out to me, just saying that they really enjoyed learning about the history of the district. And they do a really good job with some stories and archives and stuff like that. So it's been a combination of food safety training and nutrition, education, and utilizing our State Department website as well for some of their trainings on the meal pattern. So I think a lot of people have, you know, provided some feedback to me that they really, in light of all of this, they actually enjoy being able to have time to, you know, expand their knowledge in all of these areas and take time to do the trainings and do all the trainings on School Food Handler. We had them complete every single training that was on the website. So thank you all for having those great resources available for us to use.
Well, of course, that's impressive if they've completed all of them, because I think we've got over 150 or so trainings on there. So that is quite the feat to accomplish.
Our logs are going to look pristine for this year. Our training hours are off the charts.
I was talking with a group of people yesterday and talking about training and talking about how many companies don't appreciate how they can take advantage of this time like you've done to prepare for what for next year. Your staff's going to come back more knowledgeable, more educated. They're going to feel better about themselves and the job they do, because that's a direct result of the investment people make in training. And I see so many people that when the economy takes a downturn or the budgets become tight, those are things they cut out. And the next thing that suffers past training is customer service and performance and product quality. And it's just, I think that's impressive. That is quite impressive that y'all have gotten all those things done. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they I think to your point also, they just the confidence, I think, you know, that they can come into next year. And I also had a lot of people reach out just saying they didn't realize, you know, like, wow, Lindsay, we had no idea all that goes into coordinating the programs or, you know, so I just think it's been a real benefit to for our staff to kind of have a stronger knowledge base and, you know, expand. We have, you know, people that have worked, you know, in school nutrition in our district for over 20 years. And I think just, you know, even those people are being able, you know, exposed to some areas that they normally wouldn't have the opportunity to learn about. So I think, you know, I've tried this whole time to just look at the positive, although it may not be what they wanted to, you know, what they love to do every day. They all wanted to come back. It was really hard for a lot of our staff to be working from home on the computer. But I also think another kind of unintended consequence that I've seen from this whole experience is just it's really given our employees a lot more confidence in technology. You know, we kind of just had to, we had a couple days to get all this organized and get all of, you know, 200 people set up to work from home and distribute tablets if they didn't have a computer and figure, you know, send constant weekly, you know, email assignments of professional development and what trainings online that they could review. And I think for a lot of these people, we had our technology support team for food service, you know, helping them through it. Because for a lot of our staff, you know, just checking their email is something that they're not comfortable with, or logging on to the internet and navigating websites. So I think that's something that, I appreciate from this whole experience is I think now our department's going to be able to really utilize a lot of technology in ways that we hadn't prior to this, because, you know, our staff is more confident. They've had exposure in areas that they never have before. So
What type of other technology related tools have you guys been implementing over the past couple of months? I know you mentioned tablets. Have you guys found any other software that might be useful to other districts that you'd like to share?
No, I mean, for us, I think a lot of it was just, you know, sending website links for people to, you know, to navigate and click. You know, they were, you know, watching videos, looking through PowerPoint presentations, and Zoom. We've used Zoom more for, you know, the central administrative staff, not so much. But I could also foresee that that would be something that we would utilize down the road for our staff, you know, trainings and just being able to connect with our employees at our sites more often than just quarterly when we bring them all in for a in-service training. So I, you know, I know Zoom has been a very common one. That is the platform that our district is using, but we're also utilizing the Office 365. So our district has that program that they, over the last couple of years, have been kind of slowly pushing out and trying to encourage you know, departments to tap into those resources more. And so that is something that we've definitely used. We did a lot of surveys through Office 365 where I sent survey links out to staff where they could fill out, you know, get feedback. Like, this is our time to, you know, get their feedback. We got feedback on training guides. I had them review all of our staff new hire training guides. How would we want to adjust those and make them more, you know, fruitful for our new employees? We did a lot of folders with files that we could access and have people look at. So I think that's an area too that I'm definitely planning on moving forward in other ways, that it's just much more efficient and we can share information in a better way with our kitchen. So again, some, you know, positive things that have come out of it, at least for us.
In the past years, pre-COVID and everything, did you all do any type of professional development day to start the year off? Or because you had mentioned, you know, new hires and getting those individuals onboarded. How did you handle that in the past? And what do you anticipate being the future for getting those new hires kind of up to speed on where they need to be to start the year off?
Yeah, I mean, normally in the past, they would go through the district onboarding process, so that will stay the same, but there is some training that they receive at the district level. And then once they, you know, start with us, the new hire training was just all, you know, in the kitchens. We had a training guide that was completed for staff to go over certain areas and sign off. So I think, you know, I think from this and the feedback that, you know, we're getting from our staff looking at the training guides, you know, we'll definitely look to incorporate some more interactive and some technology pieces. I think that videos is something that I'm definitely interested in, you know, putting together some trainings that include more realistic videos of what, you know, our kitchen setup is and service and those areas to make it, you know, a more effective piece for our new hires, because we don't have the capacity. We don't bring them all in at one time. We're hiring so many people throughout the year and they all start at different times. So we rely on our sites to complete that training. So utilizing some of the technology for that is definitely something that we're planning to incorporate.
Where do you see group training? I know that I've been blessed to be able to speak to your, you know, your gatherings of your, I think the first talk I ever gave was to Tucson Unified School District many, many years ago. And I know that we've done that a few times since. Where do you see that kind of meeting going? What do you see happening for those large gathering beginning of the year in services for, you know, either managers or segments of a team or maybe the whole team?
Yeah, I mean, I do definitely think there's going to be some changes to our, you know, typical bringing everybody in large groups, especially for start of school. We're preparing for, you know, that we need to keep groups to 10 and under and those, you know, things at this moment in time. But even moving beyond that, I do think that from this whole experience, you know, we've definitely captured that you can still have effective, you know, meetings and interactions. I do think it is important, and our staff really loves to be around each other. So I think that, you know, human contact is definitely needed. But I do think that we can do some hybrids and smaller groups and utilize, you know, the technology to have more consistent interaction with our employees instead of waiting to do it once every quarter. We could set up, you know, things more consistently. But yeah, I definitely think this is going to change our, you know, staff meetings and trainings and in services moving forward for sure. And across our district as well. I think, you know, it's something that it's going to, I keep telling people that, you know, our education system is going to be forever changed from this entire experience. So we're in the trenches of that right now. And I know everybody is, and what the future is going to look like. So I think, you know, it's not going to be the same, but I also think it's going to be okay. And it's positive things are going to come out of this. And, you know, I think we'll all be stronger and have, you know, even better programs and more efficient programs because of things that we're going to have to do.
You know, one thing that I see out of this and talking to directors and I see that many, many people would have those large gathering meetings at the beginning of the year. And then they have maybe another one in January, but nothing in between. And they found themselves in January often reviewing a good bit of what they talked about in August or July because of the attrition of, you know, not, people just forget stuff. And I've talked to a lot of them that are excited about the opportunity now to put together and really develop a culture of education where they're having monthly or every other week type of trainings where the staff's constantly being reinforced. And things rather than getting that 5 hours in July and then 5 hours in January. And I think we're going to see a higher level of child nutrition superhero than we've seen before because of it.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. And I think especially for, you know, in our district, because we are a larger district with 80, you know, we have 86 schools. So I think, you know, traditionally, yeah, we're only capable of bringing everybody in, you know, 4 times a year. And so we kind of built our training around that. And I think, and then of course with school food handler that we incorporated a couple years ago, that, you know, certainly has helped, you know, progress and continue providing that education to our staff in important areas. But I think I do agree with what you said, Bart, is that this is going to allow us to be more connected with our staff much more consistently. And I think instead of, you know, feeling like, how are we going to get out there to all these employees and, you know, each quarter, and now we've got ways that we can utilize that can keep, you know, them feeling more supported and connected with our central office, because that's always a challenge, you know, where you're trying to engage 86 kitchens and we, you know, have one central facility, and that disconnect and, you know, communication is something that's so important to our programs and everything that we do. So I, you know, I look forward to being able to improve upon that area for sure because of all of this.
Well, you know, we've all gotten comfortable in front of this thing. Like you're talking in front of your phone. We've all gotten comfortable in front of a camera. So now it's going to be so much easier for you through a system like what you're using to make a personal message to the entire staff, and you talk to them directly instead of from a stage in front of a bunch of people. And that is becoming the new normal for connection. And I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, Lindsay, when you're looking at budgeting for this upcoming year and you're planning for the school year that's just a couple of months away, I would imagine that things might have changed a little bit as far as your priority list is concerned. What types of things are you considering this year when you're looking at this upcoming year that might be different from years previous?
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, the priority for us right now is just, you know, coming up, devising our reopening plan. So, you know, I'm working on kind of the four phases, like, you know, we're working on traditional students coming back, a hybrid model of some in their schools, some online, preparing if, you know, hope to God we don't have to go back to schools being closed and online only. And then also the fourth option being, you know, because of some of the protocols and changes that our district is going to have to make, potentially that some kids would be scheduled in the school building on certain days and at home others. So we have these kind of four phases that we're working on reopening plans for. So I think the challenging part in my concern, of course, is, you know, what is this going to do to our participation levels? So, and how can we, you know, if we do have a percentage or population of our students that are going to be, you know, work online from home, how can we still encapsulate providing meals to those students? So, of course, you know, there would have to be regulation changes and, you know, at the USDA level and our state level. And, you know, I think not just for food service, but for education in general. So I think, you know, participation levels are definitely a priority concern. And then, of course, you know, our budget, as far as our revenue loss that we've experienced, tremendous losses as we conclude this fiscal year, you know, and how can we, you know, recover from that going into next year. Staffing levels, because it's so unknown, you know, what are our school enrollment numbers going to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the process of doing a big district survey as far as, you know, our family is going to be ready to come back in the fall. You know, do they feel safe? What, you know, of course, we're working on building our reopening plans to ensure the safety of all students and staff is a priority. But I think there's just so many unknowns that, you know, I think a lot of it is how this whole, you know, last few months has been running, just very kind of decisions are going to have to be made quickly. And, you know, you can plan for all of this, and then it's going to be the constant change and adjustments that we're going to have to make. So I think, you know, at this point, I think that's the hardest budgeting piece, is because there are just so many unknowns. And, you know, our meal service models, are we going to have to, you know, what kind of service are we going to have? Is it going to be in the classroom? Is it going to be, fortunately for us, we've been running a kind of a self-serve model at our elementaries where we package all of the food. So that is to our advantage, I think, coming into this with the kind of grab and go concept is probably going to be most likely what we're going to have to do because of the physical distancing and those protocols that we're going to have in place. But is that going to be in the cafeteria or in the classroom? Can we still have curbside for those families that are working remotely? So I think, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of plans that we might have had for next year with maybe equipment or, you know, our truck fleet, those kind of things are going to have to be put on hold because of, you know, the situation that we're in now.
With a lot of the procedures that you've obviously been forced to kind of implement over the past couple of months, which of those, or do you see any of those procedures carrying into this upcoming school year? Maybe things like, you know, mask requirements, additional cleaning procedures. What types of things are you planning on right now? I know the future is, you know, kind of, you know, we don't know exactly what to expect, but are there any things that you're for sure going to carry on into this upcoming year?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, you know, our district does have a face covering protocol in place for employees that are going to be serving the public or working around others. So I think, you know, for start of school, that's something that I'm preparing for, that, you know, our staff is most likely going to need to wear masks, you know, when they're interacting with students and while, you know, and their staff. I certainly think, you know, some additional cleaning protocols and disinfecting and, you know, taking those extra precautionary steps that we've been doing is something that we're going to continue to carry forward. And I think also just kind of looking at, you know, how some of our kitchens are set up and spacing and, you know, some of our flow is something that needs to be reviewed, because if we are going to have to be mindful of still trying to, you know, distance ourselves when we can. I mean, I know it's not always possible, but that's something that we did during this time for our centralized kitchen facility. We actually had, you know, place markers set with tape on the ground at our assembly lines to keep, you know, everybody 6 feet apart, and really trying to be mindful of that in our operations. So I think looking at our footprints in our kitchens and, you know, what adjustments might we be able to make is something that we're going to be working on.
To kind of wrap things up for the end of the show here, any last pieces of advice that you have for food service workers, nutrition professionals across the country that you'd like to share with them as they're planning and heading into this upcoming school year?
Yeah, I think what I would definitely recommend is making sure that you're connecting with your district. I know oftentimes, you know, food service departments can sometimes, you know, struggle to be, you know, connected and involved with, you know, the entire district. But certainly that's something that's essential right now. And, you know, we need to connect with operations and all the, you know, different protocols and procedures that are going to be implemented. So I think if that's not something that normally happens in your district, I think just making sure that you're, you know, inserting yourself in those conversations and not, you know, just hanging back, because you can't do it alone. You need the support of your district and working with other departments and making sure everybody's on the same page. So I think, you know, that's something that, you know, has, you know, is very important. And some of those partnerships and connections, I think, you know, is essential as we move forward into these, you know, challenging and unknown times.
Yeah, and I would add this, you know, you should use the word insert yourself into the conversation. I think there's some districts where you're going to have to force yourself into the conversation. Some of these people that are listening, and you know who you are. And one of the things you said, you know, we can't do it alone. You know, I think sometimes child nutrition feels like we're on the outside looking in. You know, not only can we not do it alone, they can't do it without us. Right. And that's just the truth. And so I think as soon as you can, as a director or supervisor, whatever your level is, make that clear to your district, because you've been blessed to have a very steady hand in what's going on in your district in Tucson. But I have talked to some directors that do feel kind of like they're on the outside looking in. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's going to be unfortunate, because if they could just come in and see. I know your district appreciates it, because I've been in your central kitchen and seen the operation, which is most impressive. And I've been in other kitchens across the state, and they're all impressive. But I just hope that the superintendents, the principals, these board members that have not always given voice to child nutrition will realize exactly how vital and important these true superheroes are in the job they do every single day.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, I think this whole experience has helped most districts, you know, get, yeah, you know, that well overdue acknowledgement. So I think we need to just ride that wave for sure. Mm-hmm. So make sure you don't pull back, just keep the momentum going for sure.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay, Bart, thank you both so much for being on the show. We really appreciate both of your time. And Lindsay, we hope to talk to you again in the near future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, everyone. Again, this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight, and we will see you back here at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time next Friday. Take care.